from ESPN. Hey, it's Buster Olney. How you doing, Buster?
I'm doing great, guys. What's going on?
You know, I just want to know, first of all, what is your strategy when you're covering the winter meetings? Do you, like, follow around Scott Boras? Do you follow around agents? Do you just, you know, hang in the lobby? What do you do?
I got to admit that it's changed over the years, because it used to be that you would, you know, hang out a certain part and wait for, kind of like a hunter waiting for the deer to pass by and wait for the general manager to come by and make your move. But now the winter meetings have gotten so big that the general managers actually rarely come down because they're like rock stars, and they have, of course, the job seeker convention here. And so you have all these kids running around, and I don't mean that in a demeaning way, but you know, they're looking for jobs, and they're running around in suits and ties, and they have their resumes. And so the general managers all stay upstairs. So I got to be honest, I probably could cover the general the winter meetings as effectively at home in New York, texting and emailing with news, because you know, these guys don't. And I wind up during the day. I'll text, I'll call, I'll email. But I don't do a lot of face-to-face stuff.
Buster, I got to be honest with you. We'll take you back on a throwback Wednesday to 1 week ago today. It was about 5:10 p.m. Eastern time, and you told us you wouldn't be shocked if the Marlins would trade Giancarlo Stanton to the Yankees if they could figure out the money. And all of a sudden on Thursday, we see the news that Giancarlo Stanton's going to the Yankees. I think you broke that with us first.
Yeah.
I think I did, actually. And look, it was sort of an educated guess. No one was telling me that they were in talks. But as I found out later from Brian Cashman, they had just started. I actually talked about it with Brian that day on my drive to Aaron Boone's press conference. And I'm like, hey, you know, this situation might develop for you. Like, it could turn in your direction. And little did I know, the Marlins had made contact with the Yankees, and they're kicking around. But the first that we mentioned it was actually on your show.
Wow.
Buster, what in the world are the Marlins doing? I mean, the whole thing for Stan was just a ridiculous giveaway of a superstar, but now Marcell Ozuna, I don't think people realize how good he was last year because he was playing in the Stanton shadow all year.
No, and I would say this. You know, I think Derek Jeter has made a billion mistakes in running the Marlins since taking over, but I don't think that the Stanton trade was one of them, because I think that, you know, under the, you can certainly question Major League Baseball and whether or not they should have approved the financing that was involved, but under the parameters that Derek's group bought the team, in which they took on so much debt, they had to dump players, and in the end, because Stanton had that no trade clause, the Marlins had very little leverage during this process, and so just to move the contract was a big deal. They moved D. Gordon's contract. As you say, they moved Marcell Ozuna, who's two more years from free agency. You know, they're saying now internally that, look, we're not going to trade Christian Yelich. We're not going to trade a couple of other guys who have value. But from what I understand, Christian Yelich is not happy about the idea of sort of being the last man standing. Yeah. And you're going to have arguably one of the we might see in Miami not only one of the worst teams that we've seen in baseball, but also games that end with fewer than 1,000 people in the stands.
Wow.
It's going to be remarkable, because the fans down there are so unhappy with how this played out, and then in particular unhappy with Derek Jeter.
Wow, wow. You know, Buster, you mentioned rock stars. Let's talk about Scott Boras. He's got to be a rock star there. I had a chance to sit down and talk with him also. I'm just wondering, are there teams that still don't want to deal with him, or do you just have to? It's like a necessary evil. I don't know. He's got too many free agents out there.
You're 100% right, and that's why ultimately the teams come back. And I don't think that there's, in the way that it used to be, where teams literally would not have Scott's guys on their team. You know, the Orioles for many years never had a Boras client. But because he is, you know, big talent base, and I think over time that maybe some of the edges of Scott that really used to drive teams crazy, those have been sort of worn down by the new rules about, you know, the draft and those sort of things, and it's not as much of a you know, a fight that is,
right,
as we saw in the past.
Buster, should the league have stepped in on that Stanton trade? I mean, just the fact that Derek Jeter was doing it?
No, they shouldn't have stepped in on the trade. What they should have stepped in on was the sale of the Marlins to Derek's group and the price, because, you know, I had people, and I think I told you guys last spring when they went up for sale, they're not worth $1.3 billion, which was the initial asking price. They're not worth $1.2 billion. They're not worth $1.1 billion. They're worth more like $800 million. But by giving approval to Derek's group, for $1.1 billion, it guaranteed that they would start out in such enormous debt and now you know, put them in a situation where they needed to make moves like the Stanton deal. And I worry, because that's a you know a market that's gone through this repeatedly, this might be the kill shot for baseball in Miami. Because I, you know, now we're looking at 4 or 5 years of the team really struggling and a continued unhappiness with the fan base, and you just wonder if eventually the fans are just going to forget about baseball and not even bother with it.
Wow. Buster Olney of ESPN with us here on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN. Buster, let's move to the Red Sox. I know they're focused on Martinez. We'll get to that in a second, but all these big-name relievers are coming off the board today, and the Red Sox aren't in on any of them. Even though their bullpen was so good last year, we know how volatile bullpens are. Why are they not trying to fortify the pen?
I wonder if it's because they want to focus their resources initially on the slugger, on their offense, because you know we know last year, finishing last in the American League in home runs and seeing what the Yankees have done now with Stanton and Judge batting in the same lineup, if, you know, that is the priority, and they'd rather just wait and see how much the hitter's going to cost. J.D. Martinez is going to meet with them tonight. I think that's the focus that they have rather than Eric Hosmer, Carlos Santana. And it might be that Dave just doesn't want to add another expense with the bullpen until he knows exactly what the slugger's going to cost, and maybe hope that there's going to be another relief option still available when they finish up signing the slugger.
Are the Yankees getting Machado, too? Is that going to happen or
no?
What?
No? No, I don't think so. I will tell you, you know, the Orioles have told other teams that they're willing to talk about Machado, and it seems like finally some recognition from the Orioles that he's not going to stay with them after he becomes a free agent next fall. But I will tell you this. The Orioles are the absolute worst flirt in baseball when it comes to trade talk. Where they'll get into the conversation, but they won't ever finish anything. And so, you know, they did have a conversation yesterday with the Yankees. The Yankees expressed interest, but then the Yankees are under the impression that Orioles owner Peter Angelos will not approve a trade to the Yankees. So while it's interesting they talked about Machado, I think there's almost no chance something happens.
Buster, back to J.D. Martinez. It sounds like he's meeting with the Sox at some point tonight. You would know better than me, but I think I heard tonight. And I mean, it sounds like, especially after what the Yankees did with Stanton, that becomes absolutely priority one for the Bo Sox. Is that true?
I do feel like that there's been more pressure on them. It's interesting because a year ago, when the Red Sox traded for Chris Sale, the question here was, boy, what are the Yankees going to do to catch up? And now, with the Yankees getting Stanton, the question is being asked about the Red Sox. The fact is that you know the Red Sox, if they're going to add a bopper, it's almost certainly got to be through free agency. Because of all the trades they made, they don't probably have enough to satisfy the White Sox for Jose Abreu. J.D. Martinez, in some respects, is not a perfect fit for Fenway Park because a lot of his power is to right center field. And, I mean, you guys know the layout of that ballpark. That's the biggest part of the ballpark. But he had a tremendous year, 29 homers in his last 62 games in the season. You know, he's 30 years old. Dave Dombrowski knows him from the days together with the Detroit Tigers. You know, I got to believe that this is a factor. You guys saw Rafael Devers at third base down the stretch.
Yeah.
14 errors in 56 games. Mm. I've had evaluators tell me that eventually he's got to be moved to first. If the Red Sox agree with that, it doesn't make sense to invest in a first baseman like Hosmer or Santana. It makes more sense to get J.D. Martinez.
Buster, are any teams surprising you at the winter meetings, either with their activity or maybe a lack of activity?
Maybe the Dodgers a little bit, because we're used to the Dodgers being big spenders. But, you know, the Dodgers last winter went out and went nuts in the free agent market, retaining Kenley Jansen, retaining Rich Hill, retaining Justin Turner. They're sitting back. I think they're probably at some point make like a couple of value moves with a bullpen. But we talked about the debt of the Marlins. The Dodgers actually have a lot of debt as well, and it's part of the reason why they want to bring their payroll down for 2018.
Buster, I'm just wondering, because you know we talked about super teams in basketball like the Cavaliers and obviously the Golden State Warriors. Do we got that now in baseball with the Yankees and Dodgers? Is that good? Because I feel like that's the World Series already. Is it good to have super teams now in baseball too?
Well, I think what you're seeing also is a manifestation of the copycat strategy of tanking. You know, it's an ugly word. No one likes to say it out loud, but the Cubs tanked, and they got to where they were at in 2016. They won a World Series. The Astros tanked They lost 106 or more games in four consecutive years. They won the World Series. If you're the Rays now, you know, and they're out there talking to teams about Chris Archer, Evan Longoria, they're looking, I think, to completely tear it down. I think the Orioles may at some point. And I think what's happened, because all these teams are following this strategy, the Phillies have in recent years, is that you're seeing a very polarized, competitive situation where you get teams absolutely loaded, you know, like the Astros are now, like the Cubs, like you said, the Yankees are certainly loaded right now, and then you get some really, really bad teams. Guys, mm-hmm. last year, the National League was awful because of that dynamic.
Buster, talk about a buzzkill, the Shohei Ohtani injured elbow.
Yeah!
What's the thought on that, and how serious is that?
Well, I mean, you talk to people around baseball today, they were stunned by that story, and they think it's so incredibly overblown, because context is really important. Guys, all 30 teams were given access to that, those medical records, before they started the bidding. And you guys saw the frenzy and how much teams wanted him. You know, everybody knew that ahead of time. It's not like he's got a grade 5 strain, the worst. He's got a grade 1, which is the least. And as my colleague Keith Law said today, there are pitchers pitching with grade 1 sprains, and they don't even know it. And on top of that, he's so much value to the Angels. You know, their investment in him right now is less than $25 million, and GMs have told me that his value is over $200
million. Wow.
There's no risk for them. And here's the other safety net with Ohtani. Let's say that he did develop more of an arm problem. Guess what? He's a hitter as well.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of, you know, and Billy Epler, general manager of the Angels, told me what they found with his arm, and they're certainly well aware of it, is that he had the normal wear and tear for somebody that age. And there is some theories among other teams that one of the teams that Ohtani didn't pick got mad about it and decided to leak out the medical information
and
create this cloud.
Wow. Buster, I want you to know I cried myself to sleep all Friday over Ohtani's decision.
Yeah. Let's ask you as a Mariners fan.
Yeah.
If you had had the news that Ohtani had a grade 1 sprain of his elbow, would that make you want him less? I can tell you this, it wouldn't have made Jerry DePoto want him less.
Well, look, Buster, if I'm speaking as a Mariners fan, that grade 1 sprain with the Angels, he'll still win 20 games and they'll win the World Series. Had it been the Mariners, he'd have had Tommy John surgery 7 times. Yeah. So
I understand.
All right. Hey, Buster, always a pleasure. I know you got a lot to do. We certainly appreciate it. Have fun out there in Texas if there's anything we should know.
Okay.